Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, that's cool. I had these ones start cold anyway, so we can just keep on talking and shit.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Jake. How you going, buddy? Serenity and Brutality. We're sitting down here having a lively beer and a catch-up. It's been a fucking long time. And, I mean, when was it that I got you to come on?
It was around August, September kind of region, 2019?
It was about a year ago now, yeah. Fuck.
Just over a year, yeah.
I feel like I've done a lot of episodes, but I don't, considering the kind of content that podcast can do, I really haven't. You know what I mean? Like, over the time frame, I haven't...
There's been a little bit of a hiatus on the Shane Oliver side.
Yeah, oh, look, life, man, it fucking... It
happens to everyone, and COVID is probably one of the big denominators of why we've been so busy trying to figure out what's going on in life, so...
Yeah, it's been crazy times. I think I've said that so many times on previous episodes, you know, like, it's just what that year is, isn't it? You know, that's just what 2020's been, but, you know, fucking, how you been?
Well, dude, since I last chat to you, I believe I was trying to retail merch and doing a little customs on the side, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
From memory.
Yeah.
So now, Serenity and Brutality, as time's developed and time's gone on, it's kind of evolved and it's actually turned into a lot more, like, I've actually axed retailing official merch altogether.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I just wasn't enjoying it. It wasn't my vibe.
Okay.
But we've gone, like, the route of just custom merchandise making and more so just for self-promotion, but also helping anyone along the way.
Yeah.
And I guess if we're on the topic already, metal music discovery is a big part of what that is. And what that is like helping the scene commute and be a community and help promote each other.
Yeah, so that's one of the main reasons you'd reached out to me, was that you wanted to talk about this page as well. And so you started it last year, and it started off like fairly small, as they usually do. But within a year, it's gotten up to almost 3,500 members, like just under that.
We got 3,600 plus today.
Yeah. Oh, as of today. So when I looked at it last, it was just under 3,500. Oh, maybe a day or two ago, I think. Like, I was chasing it. I just wanted to see how much, like, reach that fucking post that I put up on it. See how much I got. I think I got something like 700 people that had seen it.
That's actually really good for the algorithm with Facebook and how...
I know, it's so fucked. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. Like, I rarely ever use my TSOE page, and that really aggravates me because it's another form of, like... advertising or promotion, you know, that I can use for my episodes and shit.
Behind Paygate, so.
But unless I fucking, you know, sponsor the ads and shit to get that reach, no one fucking sees it. And like, I'm not one of those guys that likes to hassle people about sharing shit, you know.
Yeah, and that's where like Facebook groups actually come in pretty supreme.
Mm.
Because in 2019, I believe, there was an article with Facebook, and it was to do with, like, Facebook groups are becoming their focal point.
Mm.
So they're wanting you to make groups, because information technology and information on social media is actually going, like, that's going to be a huge market. And if Facebook's got your attention and got you in niche groups, like, posting on their site, doing things,
mm-hmm.
they're doing well. So Facebook has shifted from page kind of relevance,
mm-hmm.
personal relevance, to group relevance.
Yeah, okay.
And the algorithm favors groups over pages. And like, if you've got a page, you've got a business, you've got a band, make a group.
Yeah.
A group will always succeed above a page.
That's wild though. Like, you just think, like, back in the day, what it used to be about. And, like, it never used to be about how far it could reach or whatever or this or that.
It was just helping people out.
Yeah, yeah. It was connecting people and you know, someone from the other side of the country, basically, to be like, hey, how you going? Like, family or friends and shit like that. That was the main idea, like, behind the that's
social media in a nutshell, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just been turned into one giant fucking marketplace for, everything and anything. But if you've got money... then you can do it. And like
just like anything in life though, if you've got money, money fuels just about every pursuit. And unfortunately Facebook went that route, but business wise that's actually more intelligent than letting people promote for free. If you've got a business model, may as well use it.
Yeah.
But I know they already have lots of money and they're a conglomerate now, so
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Now it's just all about fucking exploiting it. So
I mean the silver lining is groups are free.
Yeah.
And they're allowing us to, like, you can't even do paid ads in groups, I don't think, as well.
Oh, okay. So but in terms of reach, though, for your members, for the music group, it's still pretty, like... it's,
gated?
Yeah. Is it?
No, I actually don't think it is at all. Like, if there's a certain post... I've actually got a post up right now that's got 600,000 post what? View. And it's got 6,000 shares because it went viral.
Yeah, what was it?
It was the, you know that meme that was like the 2020, start of your 2021, listening to people equals shit. And then by the 30 seconds that goes, like it's at 11:59:30.
Yeah.
If you leave it until then, it's like, here we go again, motherfuckers, as night, midnight hits.
Ah, yeah, those ones,
and
yeah.
And I've actually been sitting there analysing, why did this go viral? Because it's like, To me, this was just a basic meme. But thinking about COVID, thinking about how everyone feels about the year, this hits hard.
Yeah, the timing of it, coming towards the end of the year, like you're going into December now, and then you hear...
almost Christmas,
Well, people have already started putting up their fucking decorations. I hate... like, dude, it was the start of... like, it was almost the start of November, and I've gone to one of the local shopping centres, and, like, one of the smaller ones, but still, it had the fucking, like, the furry, like, dangly green, white ball, jingle ball shit. They started hanging that up already, and I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, dude.
Yeah.
We're almost two months away from it, and you're putting up decorations.
It's an in-sacred reminder of how fucking fast this year's gone because nothing's happened.
That too, but also, like, you're still fucking 2 months away from it. And, like, I swear to God, every year it gets, like, they start advertising or promoting Christmas, like, sooner and sooner and sooner. It's the same with, like, once fucking Christmas finishes, they're going to start advertising for Easter.
Yeah.
You know? That's going to be the next
big
thing.
I mean, if you've worked in retail and supermarkets, their process is, as soon as Christmas is finished, they focus on Easter, and it, like, starts popping up between January and February.
Hot cross buns, fucking bullshit.
All the chocolate eggs and stuff, you probably have kids with you that they'll buy it. Getting back on topic, I think that meme is, I keep looking at it every day, and it gets about 1,000 more shares, 100,000 more views, and I'm just like, how
and why.
But it's a good solid reminder that groups are becoming effective, and I know a lot of people are trying to boycott Facebook as a social media, but to be honest, it's what everyone's using. It's omnipotent. It's like it's the thing that most people, it's the medium.
They created a monopoly on the industry, right? Like, who else can you go to, really?
It's super smart what they've done
business-wise, yes, but
moralistically I would disagree.
I heavily disagree. Morally, it's fucked, you know. Like, but business-wise, as you said, it makes sense. Like, what's the best way to?
Like, I've only seen very few bands that actually do the whole group route as well. But Valhalla, which is a pretty successful folk metal band from Brisbane, they have their Val Horde as well. It's only got a small amount of members, but their group gets a shit ton more engagement than their page.
Yeah, right.
So all the people that are actually business minded are going to groups. And I recommend, if you like, I'm saying it again, go into groups. Groups is where it's at. Shane Oliver could probably go into groups too, because that would be a good way for you to connect with potential fans,
businesses. that's exactly right. Yeah, like,
and it's not about hating the industry; it's about adapting.
Yeah, like, I guess I wouldn't say that I'm. I would say I'm kind of old school, where, like, I don't, like, I do I want my content to be out there and I want people to be able to reach it, sort of thing. But in terms of me being that guy that like constantly shares it and puts it in your face and stuff, it's like consciously, like I feel like I'm just being a fucking nuisance by doing that. Like it's just, that's obviously a mental thing, right? Yeah. But still, it stops me from wanting to do it because I'm just like, I mean,
I think the whole philosophy with is you got to have just good content to begin with.
Mm.
And you got to have good content, informative content, funny content, and content that people feel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're advertising your business every day, that's really, that's got a cold face to it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just sitting there every day, I've got new merchandise, oh, buy this, come to this gig, etc.
Yep.
People are going to get cold to that and then they just won't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if you have a really good audience, you're building good memes, like good information, like networking, making a community,
mm-hmm.
when you finally do chuck something down, people are more inclined to do it.
Mm. Yeah,
that's kind of the strategy, because you don't want to come off as like money mongering or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which has never been a thing for me either, regardless of how much money I make from things. It's like, to be honest, nah, it's all about the passion, the love for things and the love for community.
I mean, in this day and age, you're working to have fun, right? Yeah. And what your fun is and what your passion is the music scene, right? So any of that money that, like, obviously, let me guess, any of the money that you usually spend or you have spare goes straight towards merch and music.
Yeah,
and
it goes into investing into gigs.
Yeah.
Because I've actually thrown my first gig on October 31st.
Yeah, how did that go? I didn't get the ticket in time. COVID,
it's,
bro.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because it was a really gated thing, but that went off without a hitch and a lot of people were very happy. Like, I was genuinely surprised how well it went, because mm-hmm. I was expecting like things to go wrong, people to go, oh, this sucks, you know. But I think that's just the pessimistic side of like trying to keep things current, that you have to kind of like be on the lookout to
make sure that things are happening. Always feel like that too when it's your thing.
Yeah,
you know, and I guess that's probably,
it's maybe a lot of weight.
Yeah, like I guess that maybe could be like probably be a barrier for me as well, like in stopping me from wanting to promote and do more with my page. Like I get the content out and that's what I want to do. I'm not gonna like force myself into doing something that I don't want to do, of course, but like at the end of the day, I still want to have like content out for people to listen to and hear, like what we're doing now, like more in-depth conversations with
more like
actual
lounging kind of chill vibes.
Yeah, exactly. And especially about what every one of us, who my audience would be, is like muso lovers, get to understand and hear about, you know, like
same niche as my group is like pretty much all the music nerds, musos, people that want to be around the scene and like get to know. Like, one of the things, my biggest like positive about what Shane Oliver Experience does is it illuminates so much that you probably don't know, but then you get like a really big insight into a certain band, a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember watching Shannon Lee Sloan's one.
Yeah.
Which is Jimmy's girlfriend, my boss.
Yes. Yeah, that guy.
That guy. That was super insightful because she's a really interesting person and I've always wanted to know more about her, but some of those things don't come out in conversation. Whereas,
no, you don't get it's not something that you just go up and go, hey, I really want to know this about you, when you're up in their face, sort of thing, and they're like, hey, what the fuck, I've just seen you for 2 seconds.
Because like, yeah, there's a lot of social idiosyncrasies that go into like figuring out what someone's about. So what you've done with that and Shannon as a person for me is you've helped me figure out her before I even met her.
Oh, right, yeah.
Got to know her more personally, and that's actually really cool. I'm insanely in love with the idea of what you do.
Oh, mate, it pulls at the strings when you say shit like that as well, because it makes me feel like what I'm doing, even though if I was putting 110% into it, like, it would be so much better, but what I am doing now, like, it still makes me feel good to know that people still enjoy the content. And at the end of the day, that's what it is for me, is that I want to sit down and have a chat with people that are like-minded like myself and get people to know more about, even, you know, mainly the local scene and how it, like, the locals right. will start. But if I happen to get anyone bigger or whatever, I want to know what it's like for them when they started, you know, their local days and what they did.
It's really like, you know, a deep dive into someone's personal adventure and journey into either success or however they've gotten or wherever they've gotten.
Exactly, exactly. And for a lot of people, especially that are passionate about it and write it in any form or way. Oh, wait. I think...
Oh.
we have a ticket going.
Who won it?
I don't know.
Who won it? I want to know if we won $250. Fuck. They're doing it. They're doing a raffle down at the pub that we're at, and luckily there's like fuck all people here. And so we had
a good chance.
Yeah, we were like pretty optimistic, but I didn't really hear an S in there at all or a J. So
those are the important ones.
Yeah, I know. So I'm a bit disappointed. Fuck. Anyway, what were we talking about again?
So just like what the Shane Oliver experience is doing for the community and like the deep dive. I'm a huge advocate for you because I still wear like your shirt. What we designed together is literally one of my favorite focal points of my career because it was early and it was like, this shirt's rad.
Yeah.
This shirt's rad.
I really should actually put them out again and so I can sell them. I've still got
people
them.
People always comment on how colorful it is, and that's what you were trying to aim for. Like your vision obviously worked in the success towards the public.
In that aspect, yes, but I've thought about it a lot, and I kind of regret not going with the black shirt first. I regret not doing that.
I actually prefer that you did the white first.
I know, and that's I was really sold on it at first, but you know, like half of the people that said that they would have got one were like, where's a black bro? I'm like, fucking hell.
That's a problem I've had with my page as well, because like I don't know if anyone who does printing or anything knows that white is always cheaper than black to print on.
Yeah.
Because you have to use a bit more ink to put a background onto a black shirt.
Yeah, okay.
So hence why most people will try to offer you a white shirt whenever you try to buy one.
Yeah, okay.
And I've done that with like the Metal Music Discovery collage. Like there was I got all the members that consented to put on a thing, and then they were just
I saw that.
Where's the black one? They're like, where's the black one? And they're like, I guess I can do it.
Yeah.
It like takes a lot.
What
of
is it? Why can't? What is it about black, man? Come on. Like, just why do you always want to have black shirts? I mean, for Christ's sake, get a white one for a change.
Have you got into like the whole color sophisticated? Like, there's actually like a vibe to every color. So like, white's meant to be very neutral.
Yeah.
Whereas black's meant to be sophisticated, interesting, kind of. And then there's like red, which is like alert, dangerous. Like, you know how the colors say something about what
Okay, I know. Yeah.
Because colors actually feed energy into things, and that's why asylum walls are all painted white, so they're neutral, so they don't send people crazy.
Yeah, okay. Oh, they said a name again, and I still missed it. Fuck.
Maybe we should cut it short and then come back.
Yeah, just wait and see if we can hear for it first.
I actually do need to pee though, so that's
okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so you peed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
And we didn't. And we didn't win.
No, we didn't.
We didn't win. Fuck. All right. No. Well.
Well.
I don't know, man. Maybe we should just pack it up and go home. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel lucky.
No. Well. Look. I'm pretty stoked on having you come back to have a chat to begin with. And I mean, seeing the growth of that page and like you say, talking about like group mentality and what those members of the groups do and stuff per se, it's really nice to see a lot of like with, because when you get to a certain size as well, it becomes, what's the word, when they get big, they get real hectic after a while. You know, there can be a lot of toxic fucking bullshit that happens.
Just people being people, eh?
Yeah,
and sometimes people just have bad days, so it's understandable. Yeah, as your volume grows bigger, you deal with more things. Like, that's just a concept and philosophy of life, I suppose, so.
I was going to say, it's interesting because, you know, like, for your page in a sort of way, you become, without even though your main passion about it is sharing the music that you enjoy and letting others enjoy that view of yours, in a non sort of way, like, you become someone that people look up to in a way. Like, not, I'm not saying that it's that happens with everything, but like,
for sure
you personally feel like there's more responsibility on your shoulders because it's something you created, and there's thousands of people now, especially
your reputation
with
all of a sudden comes on the line.
Yeah you know, like, you've got to,
I know all these people personally most of the time too, so it's difficult at times. You have to deal with certain situations, certain people acting certain ways, and
And it's not to say that you would condone any, like, if it's bullshit, like, fuck off. Like, that's for me too. Like, there's no, I don't have any tolerance for any of that sort of bullshit anymore, you know what I mean? Like, if I see it straight up, I'll either, like, nip it in the butt right there, or just, like, fuck it off and totally, like, you know, I'll deal with it, but, like, there won't be any explanation. It'll be like, no, I'm not taking, no shit, no fascist bullshit.
You know, do no harm, but take no shit.
Yeah, like, and not sit on the fence about being honest and, like, vocal about the fact that if you see something shit, or, like, if someone is being shit,
yeah,
like, don't fucking worry about hurting their feelings, for Christ's sake. They're being an ass, like, yeah. And just tell them what it is, you know, and that becomes like more of your responsibility.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, for being in a group like that. So you've got yourself, what, like 30 moderators or admins or something, you said? So
30 admins / moderators, including myself. And we're looking to increase, because I want at least 1% of us to be admin moderators, because, like, not everyone's online. It's volunteer work. No one's getting paid to do anything. They just do it for the sheer passion of it. And we had to, like, I remember, like, a month or two ago, I had to introduce some commandments, which are essentially rules.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. But which was good, though. Like, that's what you need to have.
You need to set down the ground rules.
Yeah. I don't even remember, like, ground rules even being set in the first place, you know what I mean? For a fair while, it was good. Like, it was
a bit of a free-for-all, and sometimes it would, like, dissuade. Some people actually kept messaging me saying, I don't want to talk in your group anymore because of X person, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. Honestly, I don't want anyone's conversation to lead to a point where they don't want to be a part of the community, because it's all inclusive. We're LGBT, we're, like, all religions, all races, all creeds. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do. We want you there. We want you to feel like an important community member.
At the end of the day, none of that shit's got anything to do with music. Well, unless, like, this music in particular, anyway.
Precisely.
Like, none of that personal, physical attributes.
If we're in a group to do with music, do you think it's wise to sit there talking about religion, someone's sex orientation, someone's sexual preference, or... It's a non-factor. Like, yeah, you can have your opinion, but it's not really the place to be talking about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It can be a subject of music to do with someone who's involved with music, who has dealt with these things, or is dealing with these things, or is a part of a community that's marginalized.
Exactly. And especially not letting any excuse for shitty behavioural attitudes with songs, right? So there's a lot of songs out there that do, you know, still preach to certain things and say certain things.
We got the black metal community, and we got quite a few artists that also have gone in the supremacy kind of route.
Exactly, that sort of shit. And, like, there's no time for that. Like, fuck off. Everyone is entitled to,
like, think
to
about
live,
it.
For fuck's sake.
As metalheads, we were always the outcast.
Yeah, so why are we doing that?
Why are we outcasting anyone else?
Exactly, yeah.
We love everyone, man.
You're being a part of the problem now. You're being part of the fucking... As the elites would be like, you're part of the mainstream. Like, fucking doing that shit, right?
Yeah.
You know, so cut it out. Like,
at a certain extent, like, if you care about it so much, then obviously it's affecting you, but then there's also the side of where there's just no need for it as well. So I'm kind of like, I'm both sides. I am like, you know, someone will say something to me and I just shrug it off. Someone says something to someone, it offends them, I kind of have to do something about it. So it's an interesting kind of philosophy where I have to see both sides. I have to be a little bit impartial, even though humans per nature are very biased.
Yeah, especially if it's to someone that you have a strong personal connection with.
For sure.
You know, if it's a very trusting one, and then they happen to do something such out of character that you're blown away by it. You're like, no, it couldn't have done that. Really? You said
that's
that?
That's not him.
You know,
no, not that guy. Yeah.
Exactly, right? And, you know, I think people have to realize that anybody is capable of anything, right? But that doesn't mean that it's going to happen, you know?
You just, like, have to keep an eye out and an open mind about what can happen.
Yeah, it's not so much a matter of always being on guard. It's just being self-aware of what you say and what you do. So, you know, like, it's not so much like not to offend anyone or whatever. Like, I mean, for fuck's sake, like, there are so many things out there that are still incredibly offensive that we're looking at directly in our faces, and yet we tolerate it every day, and we walk past it, and we do this, and we do that, right?
Mm.
So why would you be doing that, especially to people that
are marginalized already? Yeah.
In a way that, you know,
because we are still the outsiders. Like, as much as we are together, we're still the outsiders of the main stream, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, especially like when any normie would ask you, oh, is that the screamo shit? Like, that's probably the most irritating fucking phrase anyone will say to you about it. Like, if they're not someone that's into that group or genre or whatever, and it's their first time thing, and yeah, they're just, that's their first impression of it. I mean, for fuck's sake, yes, they're screaming, but it's not. Think about it a little more clearly. I don't say to you that you don't listen to that fucking garbage shit on the radio, that two-piece piece of shit.
Or that garage band that was made by one person and a production company, you know what I mean?
I really, like, I guess that's something that I've really become more aware of myself, is that this year in particular, I just don't have time for anyone bagging on anyone else's music.
No, because as you get older, you're just like, the more you care about things,
I can't remember who I had this conversation with, but they were like, I don't understand how some people can listen to metal all the time, because it has such a violent connotation to it, like, because of the sound and, like, the screaming and the yelling and all that sort of stuff. And I said, anger and the frustration is a core element to humans, right? Like, for some people, in their heads, it's almost like a relaxation, right?
Yeah, it's our form of meditation.
You know, not everybody's the same. Not everybody grows up listening to, you know, the shit that you hear on the radio all day and think fucking Barnsley's the best in the world. Credit to him, he is a banger. Like, he's got it.
He got there for some reason.
You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, I don't go out fucking going, oh, you listen to Barnsley, fucking, you know, like, what's the point of doing that?
It's just a judgmental character that you come across, and, like, honestly, if you pay no mind to them, they don't matter. You know, like, Dr. Seuss says, like, is it like those who matter don't mind, and those who don't mind won't matter?
Like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't matter? Or, okay. It's something Dr. Susie, and it's cool.
Like, yes, and credit. And to be aware, I should say, like, there are shitheads in every scene.
Yeah. Right?
You know, like, there always will be.
Whereas, like, the metal scene actually kind of has, like, a very good reputation for being well behaved, and at gigs at least.
Yeah.
From a venue, like, working in hospitality standpoint.
Yeah. So you've had experience with it at the tavern and shit like that, working there as well. So
we've had quite a few gigs there, and, like, honestly, the hip hop artists and the rap artists are the interesting ones, because they're the ones that are the most egotistical, and their demographic encourages a lot of interesting kind of behaviors, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
Whereas, like, the metal scene kind of envelops this kind of open minded, like, I'm ready to serve and, like, want to be your friend. And
it's interesting though, because that, whether it just be that area or whatever, but, like, the interactions that I've had with hip-hop artists around here and stuff like that is pretty good. Like, I had Late One on here on one of the previous episodes last year. Oh, this was, like, right before COVID, yeah, so at the start of this year. He's a fucking legend. He's such a chill dude. He's got like, lyrics for days.
I mean you think about artists like Post Malone. Insane artist, really good, but an insanely chill guy that would give anyone the time of day. Like, I would not generalize and say that it's all hip-hop artists, it's all rap artists, all metal artists, but sometimes there is a trend with certain things.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't go out of my way listening to Post Malone or whatever, but I'm not going to sit there at the end of the day and say that he's not fucking talented and that, you know, people are stupid for listening to him. That's one, that's not my place, and two, he is making music.
Yeah.
It's just not to your taste, mate. Chill out.
It's just about the whole, one of the commandments of metal music discovery is respect everyone's music taste.
Yeah.
Like, you can have an opinion, you know, I don't like this band, I do like this band, but when you're, like, belittling someone for liking something, that's when I kind of step in and I'm like, maybe not, guys, like, that's not cool.
Yeah. And you know, like, there are stereotypes to certain bands and shit, like, of people who listen to them and stuff like that, when you can dabble on into those sort of... It's almost like subgenres of, like, what you, you know, what you need to fucking ease up on, like, with, like, just that sort of shit. It's crazy, like...
Yeah, for sure.
There's... Oh, man. And that's the thing, like, you can just... We could keep on going about that sort of shit for days on end, because they're, like, it's crazy.
It's a super in-depth thing. Yeah,
because there's so much music out there that everybody and anybody can listen to. Like, at the moment, I've just got... I don't know how I got a hold of it. I think I was scrolling through YouTube and I happened to come across this, like, live feed thing where it's, like, constantly playing. But it's, like, chill... The video itself is, like, chill beats to relax slash study to or some shit, right?
Oh, yeah, so it's just... What is that called? Binaural beats or something? Or?
Yeah, I think it's something like that, right? Yeah. But all it is just like 2 to 3 minute songs, no words, just like relaxing vibes, just like soothing beats in the background that make you just like ponder the universe and shit.
And those are vibes. Like, you can tap into those energies. Like, the best thing about music is it's not a set thing. There's different music for different things and different times, different moods. Yeah. Music is fucking a drug, and it's a beautiful drug because it can be addictive, but it has no actual bad repercussions because of...
Yeah, what outside of, like, if you got in the depth of it, obviously, like, say, if you're a gig addict or whatever...
Gigaholic.
Like, gigaholic or whatever, yeah, like, if you're spending money, obviously, to go to shows rather than pay the rent, you're a fucking idiot, so, like... That sort of thing. But it's a lifestyle.
If someone chooses to.
But that's not anything related to the music. That's just your shitty behaviours, you know? Like, yeah.
Like, I mean, if there's not a problem, if it's not affecting anyone and you're a gigaholic, you spend all your money there. If it's not affecting anyone negatively, including yourself, why not? But it's all just lifestyles, I suppose.
Yeah. It's, you know, like, I don't go out, like, I don't listen to Mariah Carey. I do think she's got fucking bangers every now and then. But I don't haggle on her for her music. Like, she can fucking sing. She can do that shit, right?
Like, you gotta think about, how did these artists get there, to the mainstream? Like, there's obviously a progression where you have to actually be good. People have to actually like you. Oh, you're up here now. And then people are just like, you know, tall poppy syndrome. You need to cut the tallest one because it's too tall and let all the small ones be the same height.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's actually a euphemism from Australia and New Zealand, believe it or not.
Oh yeah, the poppies, right? From what is it? The poppy fields or
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I'm a history buff, but it's eluded my brain after a few beers.
yeah. Good luck with that shit, right?
But I mean, the whole premise of like metal music discovery is we don't actually we are more so about Australian metal, but I don't not allow non-Australian metal because it's like tall poppy syndrome. Just because they're big or out of reach doesn't mean they're not viable, they're not cool.
Well, yeah, like, and so, but if you're saying that, like, is it more so that members can be from all over the world as well? Like, right?
Yeah, I have a South American fan who's very vehement about the scene and she loves all the Aussie stuff. Like, this is her gateway into Australian scene.
Yeah.
So it's actually a good thing to include everyone else from outside because they're coming in looking at Australian and that's giving more Australians more coverage, and you don't know who might get picked up in the long run. So
yeah, because that's probably the most wild thing, right? So I was talking to Liam Anthony the other day. Yeah.
Know that guy. He's a cool guy.
Best dude, and like he started his new band Idle Ruin, right?
Yeah. Which is a good band too.
It is, yeah, fucking shreds. And I love drummer vocalists too. I love that concept.
As a drummer yourself?
No, I'm not a drummer. No. I just think the concept, it's like, I already know.
What are you? What instrument?
I'm a guitarist.
Ah, yeah, yeah. I thought you were a drummer. Sorry, my bad.
No. I wish I had that rhythm. I love drumming. I love watching it, and like, especially metal drummers, like, they're fucking mental, right?
Yeah.
Like, just the speed and the workhorse,
like,
attitudes,
the sugar kind of like level of drumming is,
oh my god, man,
unachievable,
like,
but it's a goal.
Oh dude, you see that shit and you're just like, how the fuck can your body do that and like keep it in rhythm perfectly? I watched a like drum reaction video the other day of like you just said, like, of Meshuggah, and it was the Bleed cover of them playing it live, and it was like note for note, And that is like most people will know, insane. Like most the audience listening to this more than likely will know Bleed by Meshuggah, right? It is probably one of the most ridiculous fucking songs that they've ever written. The beat is just outrageous. The triplets on the guitar and the drumming too, like the double kicks behind that, and to keep it consistently note for note. Fuck those European like metalheads, bro. Like, fuck you guys, because they are so good,
so intricate. Yeah,
yeah. They just seem like, put it like, how many good fucking European bands have come out of those ways? And a lot of them are like those really like hectic, wacky ones and shit, yeah. Right? You know, like that just seem to be able to master something that makes no sense, like playing an offbeat.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Like if you're like a perfectionist or whatever, you'd be playing in time. In beat and shit, not playing off beat, constantly going in and out of time.
I think that's the juxtaposition of art, you know. When it throws it off, it's much better.
Because isn't it? It's always a running joke with like Meshuggah, like moshing to Meshuggah or whatever. Because it, because
you'd be stop,
or headbanging. No, that's it. Headbanging to Meshuggah. That's it. Yeah, because it's how do you fucking do it with some of their songs, right? It's off beat.
It's so you're like,
because that naturally when people will bob their head to the beat, right? You can't do that with them sometimes. Like some of their songs are just like so off it, and like regular.
As much as you'd like to, you can't.
And we got a good local band like that, like not as heavy, but Regular Gonzalez, Jesse and shit, right?
They played at Chapter One, yeah.
And yeah, like they played at your show that you put on earlier, which again, I hope you do another one too. That'd be sick.
Ah, yes. Is it a RFI plug?
Yeah. But before that, like,
sure.
Going back to Regular, like they play an offbeat too. But it's like real groovy sort of like punky hardcore shit, right?
I had Jesse over and we actually sat there trying to figure out what genre they belong in. And we got like to sludgy, doom, progressive metal, and then south...
progressive sludge, I'd call
it. Yeah, progressive sludge is like the big umbrella term which we can go off. Because otherwise it would go into blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's a really wacky sound, right? And it's an offbeat sound, you know? So, anyway, yeah. So, like, we got a local band like that. So go check those guys out, too. They're
Regular
fucking awesome.
Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Super and, good band. They're part of the Schema Project, so...
Yeah, and Jesse also plays in Adriatic as well. So, like, and that's another fucking sick band. And they're Kereni release that they did this year. Oof. Man, it's fucking heavy, isn't it? Like, it's so well recorded, like, well produced.
I didn't actually get into it much before Kereni.
Yeah?
But after Kereni, diehard fan. I, like, literally post my... Every selfie I have is, like, literally with me wearing their shirt, so... Mm. But also, on that subject, this actually
your plug.
Coincides.
Yes.
So, Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, okay,
Chapter
cool.
2 is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of the only people who's going to know about it until the post has been made, which is meant to be tomorrow, but I think we're spending a bit more time making it.
Okay.
So we're trying to make it, we're trying to put a lot of energy into whatever we do.
That's all right, this will come out in maybe a week or so anyway, so yeah. You'll be sweet.
So we've got Chapter 2,
yeah.
Eidolon of Ascension.
Eidolon
of Ascension.
Eidolon of Ascension. Is that some sort of Viking theme or...
So Eidolon is like a spiritual self that's like higher.
Okay.
It's something that you aspire to be.
Okay.
The Eidolon of Ascension is like the highest form of that. But yeah, we're going to have a pretty good bill of progressive metal, symphonic metal, metalcore. And there's been rumours about a certain headliner that's very popular in the scene coming to that one. So...
Can you say any of them now by the time the episode
comes out? I can't
because
they're not
confirmed. Oh, okay.
But it's looking pretty good, and
no.
Anyone
no.
is
tell
listening...
Me off, tell me off camera.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Fuck yeah.
22nd of January, which is my birthday.
Yep.
Mansfield Tavern.
Cool.
7 bands.
Hmm.
Of which Adriatic is one of them, confirmed.
Okay, yeah, so you can confirm those guys, cool.
And a few others, but I don't want to go too far into it. So,
yeah. So one out
if
of the
If you
seven
listen to this, make sure you get a ticket. It's probably going to sell out really quickly, even for a 300 patron venue, sorry.
Yeah.
So,
okay, that's interesting to hear.
I will tell you about that off camera because, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Okay, cool.
It's super interesting, but yeah, we're trying to bring life back to... The Mansfield Tavern, it has an insane venue. 1,200 capacity.
It's right next to a hotel now, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, honestly, it's a good venue. We need to bring life back to it. And me and Jimmy from Piston Fist have been talking about how we can bring life back to it. And with a 1,200 capacity venue, you kind of need to use it. Otherwise, it's wasted.
It is. It's wasted space for a venue that can put on good live music, you know? And that's, especially now, that's what these places need to be doing, is not just giving the opportunity, but making that money back. If you're worried about fucking, like, losing money and shit, put shows on. If you've got the capacity to do it, and legally you can, obviously. Of course. Don't want to fuck yourself anymore by doing it dirty. So if you can, why not do it? You know, like, give people not only the opportunity to play live, but give others and patrons the chance to come in and see some of their friends play music and shit, or some of their favorite bands play.
And it's like it's a weird venue to get to, because it's not the city, but it's just outer suburbs of the city.
Yeah, that can be, yeah, because look, I know that area, and I know, like, it's oh wait, no, it's not. I keep thinking of the Vale. No,
Macrobat.
Yeah. No.
It's like upper Macrobat.
No, in my head I was thinking you were working at fucking at the Vale for a second. Yeah, no, I'm like, dude, Bow Desert Road is such a fucking nightmare. Like, that's such a shit road.
Whereas, like, where our venue is, it's like only 10 minutes you drive to the valley, so.
Yeah. So, I can't actually remember where the Mansfield Tavern is. But
Mansfield Tavern.
What's anywhere near it, like, notable?
Notable landmarks. So you've got, like, Blackwater Road. You've got Ham Road. You've also got, like, a Bunnings on the corner in Mansfield. There's a big industrial district right next to it. But back in the day, Mansfield Tavern used to be known as the venue for live music. It was Midnight Oil, The Angels.
Anyone
who was good in Australia played there.
Yeah, shit. So you want to try and bring that back.
And then we had Violent Soho. I wasn't actually working when this happened.
I was going to say, Soho would have been around. Like, they would have been playing shows there.
That's their local. They're trying to stop it from getting demolished as
good,
well.
Good, yeah.
Because in 2 years, it's meant to be demolished.
Oh, really? Contract, lease, or whatever finishes up?
Trying to put, like, new things there or something. Oh, don't ask me. I'm not an expert on the subject. But
any money tells me that if it was to go, that some fucking property developer would come in and fucking put buildings in there or some bullshit
which is the plan.
There you go. See, I'm not even fucking
you don't even need to know, you know.
That's fucked. Like, why are we trying to fucking monopolize, or not even monopolize, but, like, put our fucking entire, like, local area into these little concrete jungles?
Whatever they do, they put a big venue into it again, because otherwise, like, Eaton Hill is probably the next location for all of us. So,
and Eaton's Hill's a fucking mission to get out to. I like that venue. I've been there a couple of times,
but it's a horrible place to go to. And fucking oath it is, if you don't have a car.
I hated going out there, because it was just
great,
such
a venue,
mission.
Just a horrible place.
Awesome venue, awesome. I loved it. But yeah, just a fucking shithole of a place to get to, right?
Especially if you're in the south side. Like,
yeah.
If you're in the north side, you're like, sweet.
I'm pretty sure, like, I saw, this is going back a fair while too, and this was right before Inhart's Wake blew up, because they supported them. I saw Enter Shikari play there.
Super cool. They clap song.
Yes. I love that shit. I saw, it was a fucking light show and a half too. Like, and they had a warning as you go in, like, if you're epileptic or, like, susceptible to seizures and shit.
Yep.
Probably not a good idea to watch them play live, because there was lots of lights and shit, and it was great. And then I got to see, like, it was right before Inhart's Wake, like, blew up. I think it was like 2013 or so, 2012 or some shit. Like,
now they're
that time.
Pretty massive, eh?
They're doing pretty well for themselves. But yeah, like, that local scenes right now need the local venues, and it's not a dig on Eaton's Hill, but, like, if you keep losing local venues, you're gonna have to go further out to these places that can hold these bands play. But they're just a fucking...
It's all about location.
They're an asshole of a place to get to, right?
There's no public transport out there. There's no... I remember I had to walk 4 hours after a Dragon Force Judas Priest concert.
Oh, because, dude, that would have been a banger.
It was a banger, but the four-hour walk afterwards was not a banger.
Oh, dude. Fuck that. And that's because shitty, no transport, no nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Lift fell through, so we had to walk. I passed out so many times trying to walk back to the train station.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was an interesting kind of time.
Full on, bro.
I'll have to tell you about it off camera. But, yeah, so like what the Mansfield's trying to do, and actually what they did in July, they did a post COVID Brit stream, which I think was through like a collective.
Oh yeah, I think that was in August or September or something.
And to be honest, man, like that was my first time serving people at an actual proper metal gig at my own venue, and I was like, to be honest, I was in love with the whole situation. It was a love affair. I was listening to the music, I was serving the people I like. It was heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 100 capacity, but all the punters there and all the people there, it was just like, it was beautiful. Mm. That's what we need to bring back to the tavern.
You know what's crazy as well is that just the fact that they don't allow like moshing or dancing at the moment for this sort of genre.
Only if it's outside now.
Sorry?
If outside's allowed.
Outside moshing's allowed.
So Brightside outside's actually going to become very popular very shortly. I can imagine a lot of promoters are going to be like, yeah, let's go. Let's go put those gigs on there.
Well, I haven't seen any shows been put on at the Brightside recently.
I inquired, and it's interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. Which sucks too, because good venue too. Hopefully nothing bad.
The outside part is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, it's good. Well, the car park area, it's pretty spacious. Like, you were at Schema Fest as well, weren't you, when you saw that happen and shit?
Yep, I was promoting and being merchandise for them, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw you at some point. I saw a couple of my mates as well there as well. Chris from Dance Macabre was there.
Oh, yeah. Chris Jung.
Yeah, Jungie. Yep. Yeah. I like that guy. He's a sweetheart.
He's gorgeous.
Yeah. And that was a pretty good turnout, especially for like a local festival sort of thing, right? You know, like that you're trying to do. It's pretty hard to get those things off the ground to begin with, right?
Let alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Progfest there in 2018 as well, and that went off. Like, just it's a great venue for those
fucking
kind of
things. There's a lot of people that like Prog, eh?
Oh, mostly me. It's mostly me. But I've realised a lot of my group likes Prog as well. Like, that's actually one thing I should talk about.
Mm.
We have themed watch parties every day of the week for different genres for people to tune into and learn different metal bands from those genres.
Okay.
And so we got Mondays like prog, avant-garde, alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, I think, is like groove metal, new metal, all those kind of vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday is like all your core, like metalcore, deathcore, gent.
Yeah.
Thursday is folk metal and glam, classic metal, like all your oldies.
Yeah.
Friday is your death metal, black metal, extreme metal.
All the hectic shit.
And then the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, are all only Australian metal bands.
Australian metal bands. Okay, cool. That one for me is the one... That's always the kicker. I always love seeing more and more Aussie bands. Because
and we get the most people for those ones too, watching.
Well, I mean, the market's so flooded with like American and and European bands and stuff like that. I mean, obviously because their population is how many times bigger than ours?
Astronomical.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's a bullshit amount, right? So, of course, they're going to have more bands and more variety to listen to. So when you see Aussie bands come through and see them kill... It means more. Like, not just because it's from your country or whatever. It's just like...
It's a hard place to get out of, too.
Yeah. It's like, we're not a really... Well, we're a big country, but not in terms of population.
And music scene is actually pretty dire here, too.
Like, there are good bands.
It's hard to make it out of here.
There's good bands over in WA, but it's fucking hard to get out of WA, man. Like, the only one that... Like, there's a couple that I know from over there. I think No Brain is one, Denial... Make Them Suffer. Make Them Suffer is probably the biggest one that I know of. I think Tame Impala is another WA band, but like, unless you get like fucking big, like Make Them Suffer or Tame Impala and shit, of course it's going to be easier for you to do, like, get out of WA
for
and
sure.
stuff. But like, even like East Coast, like, all the time, people, it used to give me the shits when bands would be like, Australian tour, but you're only doing the fucking East Coast, bro. Like, that's not a full Aussie tour. Just say you're doing an East Coast Australian tour.
Yeah,
you know, like, don't be a fuckhead. Like, that irked me so bad because, like, you're leaving out. Like, sometimes you would be leaving out Adelaide of all places, too. And, like, that's not so much. That's not as bad, right? Like, so...
But it's still a place.
But there's not that many venues there either. There's only, like, two.
Yeah.
Like, the Gov and another one or some shit. Like...
I can't speak for it because I don't know. I've only traveled through there, like, twice and I've only just, like, drive through.
There's only, like, a handful of, like, venues that, like, especially for big bands that come through there to go to. And unless... and then they have a stadium for, obviously, like, the stadium bands or whatever. Like, so when you can do... When you're that big and you can do a stadium show, every fucking state gets you, obviously. Like, sure. WA has a stadium. Like, they got plenty of them for fucking all their sporting venues and shit. Mind you, that's a big fucking irk in my bonnet as well, is the fact that they could let fucking footy shows, fucking footy games events, and all that shit,
yeah,
have such a big amount of people go to it, and they have such a bigger...
Risk factor
of... potentially spreading anything that if it happened to be here or whatever. And yet musos and like venue owners like King Lear's, Kenny and shit, I love Kenny, he's such a cool guy, and I mean his venue's already small enough as it is, right? But then he has to have even less, and yet,
which isn't actually a thing anymore,
but I know, no, but it, yeah, but yeah, you're right, but like, yeah, but it still irks me to fucking, but there's still,
yeah, it's like a huge yeah,
like why
are we allowed 44,000 people versus 100 yeah, people in a tight-knit venue?
We often, I think a lot of the, I don't like to categorize it, but I think a lot of the normie population seem to forget that everything that they do, everything that they see has been created by someone in the creative industry, right? And yet, the creative industry is usually the last mob of people that get any form of assistance when something hectic happens, right? We're always the last group of people that get looked after. Fucking sporting groups get looked after more than just, like, your everyday person. Like, fuck off. Like, where is that privilege?
Where is equality?
Where is that privilege bullshit coming from? Because, like, fuck you.
I mean, it's all about money at the end of the day.
It is, and it frustrates the fuck out of me because, you know, it's like me and you, like, we are passionate about music and about the creative industry, right? And we
still don't mind sports too, like.
Yeah, I grew up playing sports. If you were to follow my growth, I was a typical like fucking jockey kid, like that was good at a lot of sports and played a lot of sports, right? But I was still somewhat of an outcast even in the jock-esque group because I started listening to heavy music, right? So I'd be like, oh, you listen to that fucking screaming bullshit, blah, 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 fucking, like, fuck you, heat of tension, masculinity, yep, bullshit, wah, 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 you know, all that crap, whatever. But I would still be that guy, even though I'm a part of all that, and I'm still getting fucking categorized because I listen to that shit, you know, and it's so shit. It's not right. Like, nah. And it fucks with your head too, like, because you're just like, this is what I enjoy, man. Like, and you're shitting on it, and like, yeah, consistently shitting on it too. Like, I wouldn't do that to things that you like, man. So, yeah, like, why are you doing it to me?
No, I totally vibe with that whole sentiment too, because it's like, that's what the whole community for me in metal music discovery is about. Is like, we don't care what you do, as long as you're a part of the metal crew, we accept you.
I've enjoyed a couple of the interactions that I've seen and been a part of. Like, I'm kind of, especially this year, I know I've been really bad at the actual interaction side of, like, being on, like, Facebook and shit. Like, I'll just post stuff.
Just being a presence, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'll post and stuff, but I won't actually really, like, I don't know. Like, I haven't had the energy, like, the mind space, I guess, throughout this year to just like fully concentrate on
and I totally
being interactive in that sort of essence, like, because I feel like I'm
totally empathize with that,
because this in one end I'm thinking that I'm wasting time by being on my phone and doing all that sort of shit, and on the other hand I'm like, well, a lot of people are doing this and this is how they interact and with each other because they don't see each other,
and that's where, like, I met a status not too long ago. I was just like, did people not see the silver lining to like Facebook and social media and how much interaction and like opportunities is actually made for everyone?
It's weird to think as well, like the transition of when everyone went from MySpace to Facebook, yeah, as well, right? Because at that instance too, like MySpace was pretty sort of like right before it started going shit anyway, like it was pretty peak, like it was pretty fucking good, right? Like you could, it was easy to use, easy to chat to, and like you could have your music playing and stuff like that. It was funny too, actually, I saw a meme the other day where it was like some motherfucker on Twitter or some shit was asking, like, it would be awesome if like Twitter could let you have your music play when you open your page or whatever.
That was
and
cool.
The person underneath was like, oh my God, we've reached that generation that doesn't know about MySpace.
Yeah.
You know, like, holy shit. It hasn't even been that long too. People have forgotten. And it makes you feel old too. You're like, fuck, that wasn't even that long ago. Like, it was only like, I mean, is it still around now? I don't even fucking know.
No,
it's not, is it?
It got phased out pretty heavily.
And like, it had a good run.
And remember when Tom would send you like a message? You'd go into like MySpace and you're like, I got a message. Oh, it's from Tom.
See, now, could you imagine if Facebook had Tom instead? Like, because you know what that guy's doing now, right? He's like some fucking adventurer or some shit. He just goes, like, that's the last thing I've ever seen.
Just living his best life.
Living his best life, bro, and, like, just traveling and adventuring and doing all that sort of shit. Like, he's got the right attitude. You imagine if it was him that was running Facebook instead.
Oh,
bro. I think the world, honestly...
It'll be interesting. That's all I can say.
Honestly, I think the world would be different because we know how much Facebook has made a change on people's lives and the presence in the world, right? How influential it has been. And if you've noticed as well, especially in like the last 4 to 5 years, how predominant people use it as like a news source for shit. Yeah. Like even I do. Like I use it for certain websites and stuff like that. But it's because it saves me the hassle of actually Googling it instead. Like, I mean, Google's another fucking rabbit hole you can go down too. Like,
sure.
But like some of the Facebook pages that I follow, you know, it's legitimate like fucking information that I'm trying to search for. Right, I'm not trying to find any like fucking fake news bullshit or whatever. Like that word in particular too, like fake news has just fucking skyrocketed in like the last, like, and you know why, you know where I'm going.
People
with that.
Are saying
and,
things without actual fundamental evidence of what's happened too.
Yeah, right. And it Facebook as well is such a big factor for that. And it can also tie into the fact that certain like scenes can be torn apart through Facebook itself, right? When someone starts shit in a group or like starts a rumor or whatever, and it tears people's friendships and stuff apart, and it can fuck
that
group up.
Recently to me too, like, you know, well, and actually fairly often to me from quite a few people that have had a personal agenda against me and tried to rip apart my group, my business, and me as a person. So, and it's like we live in an age where social media is king. Unfortunately, if someone has something bad to say against you, and that's just going to be up there.
Man, I really just want to fucking get a van again, and just fuck off. Seriously, like this year in particular has made me more and more like, because I had a van, but I should never have got, if you're listening, never fucking buy a backpacker's van. Like, do it yourself, bro. Do it yourself. Don't do the second, third generation bullshit or whatever, buying off that stuff.
Cars are always...
Buy a shell and do it yourself. Do it yourself. It'll be so much better, because that's what I'm going to do next time. Either I do that or I get myself like a fucking secondhand like X-Trail or Outlander and throw a rooftop tent on it.
That's a good idea. And then
I'm off, you know. Set up the boot so it's got like shelving in it and shit. Sleep up top. Got seats in the back. Got a baby seat. You know, I'm set. You know,
that's it.
Let's go. Like, I'm
gonna experience Australia. Yeah, it's a gorgeous country.
Yeah, and I'm fucking over this shit. It's so toxic, and that's a big thing too this year. Like, I bet there's been so many people I know that have just fucked off online because it has become this year.
I was one of them at the start of the COVID thing because I was like, I don't know what my relevance is anymore. Like, there's no music playing. There's nothing for me to do.
That's essentially your identity. That's become a crisis in that instance because of a pandemic, right? Like,
it's interesting to see because, like, how we all view ourselves when these circumstances come up and our self-values all of a sudden get questioned when these things aren't happening and they don't exist.
You know, I always used to think that I could do well on my own, which I can. I've obviously had other outside factors
as we all do
hit my, like, affect my train of thought about this, but I used to think that I would always be pretty good like being by myself and being isolated and stuff like that away from people. But if you're not in the right environment to do that, that doesn't work, right? It doesn't, because that's exactly what happened to me. Like, I thought I would be good at that sort of thing, and then during COVID times, pardon me,
bless you,
during COVID times, man, it's been rough on my mental health. It's been very rough, and I've always been open about talking about it, because especially for blokes, man, like
we need to
drop that fucking facade of macho-ness and, like, you know, not being out, like, even if you struggle to talk, I don't know what to say. Like, whatever, just work on it, man. It's okay. Like, take your time. But talk about it. Don't punch a wall. Like, but, like, you know, you'll fuck your hand up or whatever. But if you're angry, talk about it. Don't get physical first. Talk about it. Because that's the problem. And it's not just a dig on dudes, whatever. Fucking get over yourselves. Like, everybody in general, but specifically us, we have a problem with not being able to open up. Me included. Mm-hmm. I've been just as bad for it. I still have it. I still slip from time to time, right? But I have mechanisms in place to help with that, right? Like, I take antidepressants. I am open about taking that shit, because it's not your fault if there's something wrong in your head.
Yeah. Right?
There's not that. It's not your fault if trauma and hard times have made you feel this way. It's your brain. It's everyone's brain is wired differently, right? No brain is the same. It's like when people take antidepressants for the first time, or they have to cycle through different ones. Like I did. I've gone through three different types, and I'm on my third one, and I've been on that one for a while because it works. I had to go through two others first, and they fucking sucked. So, but I know someone else. I know a friend of mine. She's on one of them. But it works for her perfectly, you know?
Makes her live her best life.
She lives her best life, right? But on that same medication that she's taking, if I took it, I would be a zombie, because that's how it made me feel. I didn't feel, like, it made me feel no emotions whatsoever.
So you don't get the highs and the lows, you just
I didn't feel happy when a happy thing happened. I didn't feel sad when a sad thing happened. And I recognized that straight away. I'm like, huh.
And that can be an issue, because, as much as high and lows can be intense, it's good to have both the low to recognize what the high is.
What is it when you don't, is it apathetic or is it empathetic? No, it's apathetic.
Lazy.
Yeah. That's what was coming, right? And what you should never do though as well is quit cold turkey. Nah, cheers, man. You're sweet. What you should never do, which was my problem as well, which didn't help at the time.
I've done that with medication before. It's not a good thing.
Not ones that can fuck with your way of thinking. It's not healthy.
I mean, and while we're under, like, the whole mental health thing, like, I think one of the reasons why I dipped during COVID is I missed out on music. I missed out on the community. I missed out on my personal sense of, like, music is my medication.
Mm-hmm.
Metal music especially is my medication. It's a catharsis to my life, and it's the thing that makes me feel whole. It's the thing that makes me want to be a part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, it showed during COVID, because I was so deeply depressed, I wouldn't even leave my room.
Yeah,
I would literally stay in a room and try not to talk to anyone, and if anyone talked to me, I tried to ignore them.
Is this online more than anything, or is it
in person online too?
Because I can relate, because I felt the same way in some days. Like, it's not even like it was an everyday thing, right? Because some days I'd be good, some days I'd be bad, and it would be in those weird patches where it's suddenly like everyone wants to talk to you, and then you're having one of those rough patches where you're just like, oh fuck,
it's hard to talk to you now.
It makes it hard, like, because you're like already battling, you know. It's like, hey demons, it's me, your boy, like, I'm having a time here right now, and yet my friends are trying to talk to me, can you fuck off? And they're like, in your face, like, no. And
look, mental health is like something that's really a kind of a theme in especially just everywhere, but I've noticed it in our scene a lot too. A lot of us need a bit of guidance and help, and I think music is there as a gateway to help each other heal and move on.
I think if a lot of people kind of, like, I wouldn't say, because I know there are bands out there that do it, obviously, in the metal scene and shit like that, but I think more of them need to stop writing more about, like, their fucking dragons and demons and shit, and maybe write some songs about, like, some fucking mental mental demons instead, yeah. You know, like some of the shit that you fucking go through.
I mean, when you think about it, though, they kind
of...
There is
more of it in there.
When they're talking about the demons, that's kind of like the demons inside their mind, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I totally understand that, but I mean more on, like, the mental sort of
like
emotional
in a,
side
in a very
of
literal
shit.
Sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like more... Eben Ivory made a song called Patting the Black Dog, and I'm...
That sort of,
that,
yeah, exactly.
That takes no interpreting to know that's about.
Well, you know what the black dog. You know what everyone knows what the black dog means, right? And if you don't, it means it's just another word for depression.
Yeah,
like, hard times, hardship, like that. That's the bubble that it's in.
What we all deal with, but some people obviously have different ways of dealing with it.
There's a band that I just got into like within the last couple of months that they recently did. Well, two bands actually. And one's from the UK and one's from USA. Strangled is from the USA. They just had a song released called Defect, and the song itself is fucking insane. It is so heavy.
Like
right?
instrumentally is really good.
Oh, the tuning and the distortion on the guitars and the double kicks and shit. Like it is it and. The vocalist is an animal as well. Like, I don't know enough about them personally or who their names are or anything, but I just know the band and shit. They got that song Defect, and it's like the song itself is called, like, it's about you being defective and, like, you know, explaining, like, the certain things. Like, I've got these fucking things in my head. I feel like I'm a defect. I feel like I'm fucked up or whatever. But it's more so along the lines of, if you listen to this, it's like, yes, I'm defective. Yes, I'm fucked. But there are more people out there like me, you know, you're not alone, you know, like that sort of like message is what I'm kind of trying to refer to, if you know what I mean, rather than like the fucking, you know, in my head, I imagine like glam metal, like, yeah, swords and shit, you know, like that thing, right?
The fake power metal.
Yeah, yeah, and I understand that that's a niche and that's what you would be singing about,
it's
right?
Like but escapism like, versus actually dealing with the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy music that does that. I really enjoy music that does that.
Yeah, more, I think I've been listening to, like, Loathe, which is a very similar kind of vibe.
Who, sorry?
Loathe.
Loathe, right, sorry, yeah.
So, like, progressive metalcore.
Yeah, I thought you said Low, and that's a band from Sydney. Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, ooh, yeah.
Loathe is from America, but similar vibe. Like, it's actually, like, delving into this whole, like, depressed kind of persona where, like, we're struggling through it. But the fact that I can watch someone who's struggling through it is really... is helping me deal with it, because I've noticed that someone else is dealing with it. I'm not alone.
Yeah,
and that's what we need.
And for musicians as well, they wear the ones in particular that delve into that shit. They wear their heart on their sleeves, man. They're writing about their personal stories,
and that's a gut. That's a gutty kind of thing. Like, you have to have a lot of guts to
exactly. And I think
reveal that,
you know. I kind of feel like, especially with the metal scene anyway, like, you have a better chance of being able to do that because you are already making like a heavy sounding song, right? And generally, like, with more emotional songs or sad songs, there's more of a somber attitude to it, right? But with a lot of the metal songs that can even give that attitude off, it's still fucking heavy though, right? You know, so why not try and just adapt it a little bit, improvise it a little bit, and make it as heavy as you fucking can, but still being like, you know, open to explaining about or even talking about certain journeys that you go through and trying to make your listeners and your fans.
So like a self-improvement kind of saga.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that everyone should fucking stop doing that, because as I'm saying,
everything has its niche, yeah.
The other band that they did that split with from the UK, it's called Pint Glass, and they label themselves as Geezercore, and geezers are just, I mean, you call someone a fucking geezer, like, you just, yeah, it's basically, it's like beatdown shit, right? And it's like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's fucking heavy, it's catchy, but and it's all about just getting in your face, and it's anger, like, it's angry vibes and shit like that. Half the stuff that they sing about, I don't condone, but the sound itself, and I imagine to myself, well, I want to make that sound for me, you know, I want to make that relate to me.
That's what art's all about. Yeah?
Exactly, right? So I'm using some of the elements of how their sound is and how they wrote their shit in terms of how I want to write my shit, rather than focus on the vocal aspect of it, because the sound that those guys have is fucking dope. Like, everything about what they do, like, and how they, like, how I envision, like, relating to them is like in their sound, not in the lyrics that they have. Mm. And I guess a lot of I do enjoy a lot of instrumental music as well. Explosions in the Sky has always been a huge one for me. I remember seeing them back at the Hi-Fi, like,
so cool, man.
Oh,
interesting band.
Seven years ago or some shit, and it was, I got to watch them from like the balcony at the Hi-Fi or whatever, Max Watts and West End. It used to be called the Hi-Fi before it was Max Watts, and I'd seen them when it was called the Hi-Fi. And yeah, dude, that was the second time I saw Explosions, actually, because I'd seen them play at Splendor. I'm pretty sure they played at Splendor. That's where I'm imagining I saw them last, because I
might cut you off there because it's pee time again.
Yep, okay, cool.
Pee break.
Yep, nah, that's fine.
Probably another drink.
Yep.
All right.
How was your second wee break? What, you know, like,
may as well.
How's your bladder holding up here, right? Like, I thought my bladder was stuffed.
I've been drinking a few beers and a bit of water, so it is a catalyst for a pee break.
This, you know, that's actually kind of one of the things during COVID that I thought that I might, well, I would, not me personally, but like I thought that might have been something that might have come across into play, was like, you know, people not being able to work or anything like that, you know, getting on the beers and shit like that, whatever. During this time, the last time I got drunk was I saw
your post.
Sorry. Oh, you had to approve the post I put.
post approval on, because people, I know, post, you've got to have things.
Look, you've got to have post approval for shit, and for a group, no matter what, because if they could put anything up, you don't know some people, man. Like,
and some of the worst, like, this might sound like a pet hate, but I really hate low quality memes that hurt my eyeballs. And I actually,
what do you mean, like, hurt your eyeballs, like physically, or like just your head?
Actually,
or
physically, physically and mentally hurt my head, like trying to read them. And my eyeballs,
like, it's hard to understand.
So when,
like,
someone posts a low quality JPEG, and you can't even decipher what they're actually trying to say,
where you can see the pixels.
Yes.
Like, sometimes they make sense when that happens, right? Like, if it's a part of, like, yeah, but like 9 out of 10 times it doesn't.
All right, I might not be an elitist when it comes to music, but when it comes to memes, they have to be high quality.
They have to make sense, right?
They have to, otherwise, they have to,
what's
look
the
crisp.
Fucking point? Yeah,
they have to look crisp.
I don't know, maybe that's what, like, my attitude's like with, like, when I post or comment or anything, like, as a TSOE thing, is like, when I do it, it's like usually like a one-liner thing, or it's a meme or some shit like that. Maybe it's it's to keep up, like, this sort of illusion of what I do. Like, I'm pretty laid back, but every now and then I come out with a zinger.
Well, everything you do is a good representation of self, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. And, like, I never promote anything but love and like, good times and especially not tolerating fuckheads that try and undermine you.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And especially when it comes to music, like, I can admit when I was like an asshole when I was younger about it, like, you should only just listen, like, I don't give a fuck about any of the other shit, and which is true, like, I would be like that, but I never hassled anyone about what they liked. It was just like, I didn't think that music was good, so I was
I don't mean to interrupt you, but no. this is actually really fucking funny.
What is it? What would Jake do? He doing metal music discovery.
Someone made a meme about me.
Mate, look, to be fair, they've actually cropped your face on it pretty well.
Someone asked, why are you joining for Parliament?
Mate, seeing you in a suit would be just fucking a bit weird. I'd be asking you when's your court date.
Yeah, basically.
You know, like,
what did you do wrong this time?
Now there's a stereotype.
Yeah,
you know, like, but then again, I know you, and I never see you in a suit fucking ever. So of course, no, that's justified.
Only at a funeral, and I don't want you to see me at a funeral. So.
Yeah, no. Oh, dude, fucking funerals are never the fucking. They're
never the highlight of anyone's night. Hey.
And if it is, I'm curious to know why.
I mean, if you're into funeral doom, I can imagine.
Wait, that's a fucking thing?
Is it like Swallow the Sun as My Dying Bride?
Oh my.
Or like this subgenre called funeral doom.
Funeral doom.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. All right. No.
Don't worry. If it's been thought about, it's a metal genre.
Okay. I never kind of knew what I wanted to play for a song at my own funeral, but I want a funeral doom song to play, because what the fuck? I've never heard of that shit. Like, I've heard some wacky shit, but...
That's cool. That's cool, though.
I mean, it's cool that the concept is okay. Like,
it's cool that it exists. I don't
want to have to use it. Yes. And again, each to their own. If you want to listen to it, you can listen to it. It's not a fucking big deal, right?
I guess I kind of want to actually talk to you about, like, the reasons why metal music discovery exists. What we're trying to achieve. And
go for it, yeah.
So, the reason it exists is because I've always loved a lot of music.
Yeah.
But I found myself going into cycles or listening to the same tracks, and I'm just like, always love when you go to someone's house and you're drinking with them, and then they're just like, have you listened to this band? You're like, no.
They've always got something different and interesting to listen to. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the whole premise for metal music discovery is, I haven't listened to everything, and there is infinite amounts of music out there.
It's quite funny. I think you'd enjoy my taste at the moment, because it's either 100% full on, or it's 0%, you know, 0.1%, like fucking chilled out, like absolutely nothing. There's no, like, your mind needs to relax right now, so it's relaxing music.
I would enjoy the bounce between the two too. So
that is what I'm going through right now, because I had a playlist that I was listening to, that especially with a friend of mine passing away, a friend of many, to be honest, Red, he was such a good dude, and it made it hard. It made it hard to, like, want to be able to even just do, like, when I found out that it happened, it fucking sucked. Like, it did, because we were gonna have an episode released that week, you know, and
What was Red? What did Red do? What was he about?
He was doing his own podcast called Red and the Riff Raff, and he just started his.
I remember that.
And he just started doing He was just about to fully release his skateboarding label with his friend, Broken Skateboarding. And he happened to be on his way home from a night out, and got king hit. And unfortunately, didn't make it through the process. It was heartbreaking, because I met the guy that year, and we'd hung out a few times, and I got to meet his other half, and just go to his place and hang out, and just.
So it was really intimate.
And we were going to co-promote and finish off the rest of the year, like bouncing between each other and doing ideas for the whole thing, and. That sort of thing has definitely made
an impact.
But it's made an impact as well. But it's also, it's crazy to think that in times like this, it really does. It brings a lot of people together. Like I hadn't.
Times of crisis are really good for that, though. Unfortunately,
it is.
It's a bittersweet thing.
Absolutely, it is a bittersweet thing, because there were people that I hadn't seen in ages that I saw again, and I'm like, hey, dude, man, I haven't seen you in ages. You know, like, it's been fucking forever. Let's catch up again. And it's, you know, it kind of sucks. Like, it's a double-edged sword. Like, it sucks to be catching up with them at such a
shitty time. Event.
But also, it's great to catch up with them, you know?
And it's a solid reminder that we're not immortal. Mm. You know, we all have things that could actually possibly happen to us. Like, we could both not be here tomorrow.
That would
affect the world pretty heavily around our community. So, it's actually as much as it is a horrible thing, it's a blessing to have for reminders.
It's also a good indication, too, on, like, especially with locals and how important... especially, like, not everyone is important in the local scene. Like, it's not any sort of, like, not everyone's equal, whatever, blah blah blah, but, like, Red, for instance, anyway, like, for the punk community in particular, he was such a good guy.
Yeah,
he was so helpful, and he was so friendly, and he would give the skin off his back, you know, if you were cold, you know. And it was really, it's been really good to see them all kind of come together and shit as well. Like, and it happens in every scene, you know. Like,
in times of crisis, it really shows
every
passion,
time.
The love, and what we fucking do this for, and why we're fucking together. Like, it's, I feel for you, dude.
Yeah, I always see what interests me about when shit times do happen. And when we all come together, is how they do it when they do come together. Like, it's so surreal, because, like, in terms of, like, my my social groups or whatever that I hang out with, I bounce between groups, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really have like a set like group of people that I always hang out with anymore.
I think that comes with adult life too, because you're like,
it's so fucking hard.
Interests are so varied.
Yeah,
there's not a set people anymore.
It's so hard to keep in touch with some people nowadays, you know. Like,
but when you do, and when you get to, it's great again.
Yeah, and again, camaraderie between musicians and music loving people is, I guess, essential. It's just it is essential. But I mean, like, what I'm trying to get at is that it's just on a different world, you know. Like, I've been in camaraderie in terms of sport and you know, like group activities or whatever, you know, what name you, but it's always been like the music shows and gigs and stuff that I've been to where I've just, I don't know, like,
felt at home. Yeah,
felt like there's no sort of like there's no pressure, you know, like
it's always been chill in the scene. Yeah,
I've played individual sports, which I kind of prefer, to be honest, because me as kind of an introvert, I'm a weird mix of like intro / extrovert,
ambivert.
Yeah, if that's even if that's a thing, that's probably what I am. Like, I,
for sure,
you know, like
extroverted introvert. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I bounce between it, and it's very weird. Like, I really do enjoy my time by myself, and, you know, fuck off sort of thing. But then I also like to be around people and like be a part of the crowd sort of thing too.
The roar of the crowd.
It's such, and it really does kind of accentuate me as my characteristics of like how my mind works too. Like, going bouncing between all that sort of shit, that's what my mind's doing all the time, like, with the shit that I have to deal with. Like, I'm very hyper aware, but I think that just comes with the anxiety that I fucking deal with, you know what I mean? Like, I'm constantly looking for not like the nearest exit, but like I'm always thinking of like possible scenarios that could happen. Like, I'm walking the fucking street and I'll think of like three different scenarios of what could happen between me crossing the street, which is like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
mind's always fucking wandering, you know, like,
yeah, you gotta, your mind's always going. That's anxiety for you.
But and music,
that's when you find that like the music you listen to helps deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, as an example, like, I had to stop listening to certain playlists because it fucks with my emotions, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Same.
You know, yeah, like, you hear certain sounds and certain vibes from it, especially, like, instrumental that has, like, the background music and, like, piano and stuff like that, and it, just the certain vibes that can put off. That can fuck with my head a lot, especially if I'm not feeling 100%.
For sure.
Like, I'll get into like a somber mood, like, and I'll feel like this like little, as stupid as it sounds, like I'll sound like a fucking emo kid, and I'll just like be like that.
We're all emo kids at heart, dude.
At heart, exactly right. We are, especially music lovers like ourselves. Like,
we have that vibe. We have that vibe.
I music to me speaks in a way that what I'm listening to is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
100%.
Unless
it's a theme to your life.
Yeah. And I think with music groups like metal music, if it stays positive and it stays healthy, it can be one of those groups that can accentuate and work on those sort of factors that music needs in particular. Like, not so much that it's not lacking, like with the emotional output, with the content and the music and the lyrics that you write, but more so the people and the fans relate to this stuff. So we need to make sure that not only can they relate to it, but they can all come together and talk about it and talk about those fucking shit feelings that they have or whatever.
For sure.
Doesn't always just, you know, certain, like, as an example, like, say you put a post on Metal Music Discovery that could accentuate about the topic of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, like, what sort of music makes you feel this way, and how do you, like, how does it make you
and
feel?
That's probably actually a good thing to post.
Yeah,
at the second.
If you want to make it relatable to this episode or some shit, sure, that sounds like a sick idea, because as I've always said, I'm a big advocate for
mental health.
And honestly, likewise, like, fucking talk about it, you know, like, you're not less manly or whatever, like, fucking half.
And even for the females, if you don't feel like you can talk about it, which I know girls are more likely to, doesn't mean they always do.
That's exactly right. Like, it's not, I'm not just hagging on the dudes here, but it, you know,
but
like,
it is pretty prevalent that men do not talk about mental health. Well, because it's about the masculinity, the testosterone.
If we're gonna go, like, I'm sure there's probably a stat somewhere that says that's exactly right, because
most men are the victims of suicide.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good example too, because half the time, well, I can't say that because, like, it's not fact, obviously, but, like, I bet most of the time most experiences that happen with blokes in suicide is the fact that they haven't opened up about what's going on with them, and they've just felt like they're at the end of their ropes, and then no one's going to help them, and then that's it, they go, right? I've been in that place myself, I've talked about it openly.
For sure.
You know, like, and you're not sick in the head. Right, you might have something wrong in your head, but you're not fucked up, right? Like, you just have these thoughts that you don't know how to deal with, and sometimes it gets too much. You need to understand that that's normal. Not everyone, some people have a perfect, right, where they don't have to worry about these sort of things. They're just like, how can you be sad? Life is so happy. Like, you've just got serotonin bubbling out of your skin, right? I'm sorry, but, like, that's not everyone. And, like,
we all go through periods, times,
no
where
one,
we are, like, the serotonin bubblers.
Yeah.
And then we go through the times where we're, like, just trying not to let anyone know how fucking hard we're dealing with it. And, like, that was me. That was you. I feel like we're still struggling with it, but we're coping.
Oh, look, I'll be perfectly honest with it. I'm still struggling. And I'll be open about that for sure. Like, we're still in a fucked time, man.
Yeah, like, it is horrible.
And it's not even so much, like, like, going back to me thinking about, like, the whole self-awareness bullshit, like, I'm already thinking about, like, and this sounds so stupid, but, like, I'm already thinking about the summer, right? In terms of, we just went through a really fucked summer here, right? And during, like, where hundreds and thousands and millions, or even hundreds and thousands of people lost their homes, and millions of hectares got burnt, right? And then in between that time when we should have been working on, like, budgeting for that sort of shit, right?
COVID hit,
right? So nothing's happened in between. And, like, again, that's not any, like, I mean, it's not really a fault on anyone, because you're already dealing with a fucking global pandemic, right? There's already heaps of shit you've got to try and fucking work on. But it's already fucking hot as balls, and it's, like, coming towards the end of November, and we've already had some fires, right?
Yeah. It's, obviously, we're looking at the grim side of things.
You know, like, I'm already thinking about that shit, right? So my head is already in, like, a sort of, like, anxious state, like,
we're gonna, like, feeding back into it.
Within the next month or two, like, my head is telling me that we're gonna get more and more media images and photos of fires breaking out again, and Australia being on fire.
Yeah,
you know, and that was already depressive enough as it was, and then COVID. So then everyone's already, like, at a fucking low, and then we're going into a really hot ass summer again already, which looks like it. And even if they say it's a La Nina that happens, which brings more rain, what comes before the rain?
Yeah,
with a dryness. Lot of that, well, not even so much the dryness, but really fucking extreme hot heat. Muggy weather, right? Like, especially if it's gonna, like, if there's any good signs of rain, you look that muggy weather bullshit is something that you look out for, right? So even if we get a reprieve on the rain this year, Queensland's notorious for fucking hectic hailstorms and, like, psycho cyclones and shit up north.
Tropical. So
that's
vibes,
the sort
yeah.
of stuff that I'm constantly thinking about. And it sucks a lot of the time, and I try to deviate from it. And how I do that is I try to get back onto what I enjoy, which is music. So I start looking for new bands to listen to, and if I can possibly do it, interact with. And for this year, one of the hobbies that I picked up, a lot of people, I think, picked up hobbies, right?
For sure.
So one of the ones that I picked up is that I started a cassette collection now. My goal was to try and get 100 before the end of the year. So far I think I'm sitting at about 65, so I've got a month and a half to try and get 35 cassettes, right?
Usually people go down the vinyl route, but cassette route's actually very intriguing.
Well, put it this way, like, I can buy 3 or 4 cassettes at a time, like, during payday, and not burn a hole in my pocket.
Like vinyl versus
vinyl, where you buy one and it's like a $20 hit, where I've just bought 4 cassettes with that amount, right? And not including shipping, but, like, 4 cassettes for $20, depending on who you go through. That's dope, bro. Like, I'll do that every day. And it's a good way to give back to the musicians and the bands that you enjoy. Like,
for sure.
Most of the cassettes I have, they're all on online platforms, right? But we all know how much money fucking most artists make from that. It's fuck all, right? So what's another like easy alternative for people to just like chip in and help them out? Buy cassette, man.
Cassette, CDs.
Even if you don't want to listen to them.
Which CDs are getting cheap now too because they're being phased out. So
yeah, like,
but it's good to have the packet and the
aesthetics, bro.
Aesthetics, you know what I mean? You know, like a collection.
Yeah. And I've never really had like a music collection. I never really CD. Like I had.
I used to go to the library and like get all the things, and I'd sit it in my rack, and I'm like, "That's so cool." But it's not mine.
Yeah, I've got to take it back. But that's a cool thing too, though. Like it's not a lot of things that people do anymore. And that's I think something that kind of I gravitated towards was the fact that it's an easy way to get people listening to the music, and it's also an easy way to give money back to the artist or the label that puts it out or whatever, because at the end of the day musicians have a hard enough time as it is. If you're not in the trying to break it into the mainstream, playing shows and shit and being noticed, so the least you could do is try and chip into them, give them $5 or whatever, you know. So that's how I do it with cassettes.
It's like a way of donating, but you actually get something back, which is actually way better.
It's a better
form of donating. It's like supporting, yeah.
Yeah, I go through Lifelayer Regret Records a fair bit, and I go through their distro section. And so, like, I'll just pick up, like, a whole bunch of, like, cheap fucking cassettes and stuff, like, for $3-5 a pop. And then, like, I might go and get, like a brand newy or whatever, like, off their main selection or whatever. So I feel like I'm being a good guy, you know, like, instead of just going for all the cheapy ones. But I want to hear them. Like,
yeah.
I've got a cassette player, but I don't trust it. So, like, I've got to get myself...
So you got to reinvest.
Yeah. So I'm going to get myself, like, a really good one or some shit. So I'm going to make it my thing. Like, I'm going to try and have, like, a massive cassette collection of, like, everyone and anything that I can possibly get. And have, like, this awesome boombox to play it out of. I don't know why, but, like, that's my thing now. I want to just do that. But also, like, get back into playing guitar and actually start doing photography again and shit. Like,
well, it seems like you got, like, fucking passions on the horizons, dude.
I do. I've just got to beat that fucking hump, man. And I know a lot of people are dealing with
I'll be here for you if you want to fucking talk to anyone. Deal with that hump together.
Yeah, like, dude.
I've been dealing with it too, don't worry. So,
and it's hard for people to do it. Like, for me, my biggest hurdle is that I just don't like talking online anymore at the moment. Like, just those conversations with just...
But once you start actually releasing yourself back into the wild, it starts like wildfire. You snowball back into, oh, I feel good, there's people talking to me, I'm talking to people, I'm connecting. And we are primates, which are a social animal. We need to socialize. I will argue the fact that introverts, extroverts, ambiverts, etc., but I still feel like to a degree we need to relate, we need to communicate, and we need to feel a part of something.
And the whole premise of this episode was talking about music groups and shit, and especially yours. And I think
mental health as well.
What you're doing with that group and how it's been growing, in particular in the last year, is good. It's a good sign, and especially someone like yourself that is the one that is mainly in control of that. Or you are in control of that, but you have the admins and as well doing their shit too. Mm-hmm. You obviously trust them enough to do that, so that's...
They are literally me when I'm not there.
Yeah.
We're all equal.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always a good way to look at things too, especially if you're the one that is the, like, runner of it, you know, whether or not it's boss man work or not, without the pay, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like,
it's all passion. It's all volunteer work, and it's all about passion. And passion, to me, is a bigger currency than money.
Yeah. It's with that aspect of it, yes, sure. Day-to-day shit, like your everyday living, you need that fucking moolah.
I can't pay for my loaf of bread with passion.
No, yeah.
I mean,
your hands might,
I could probably swindle myself a loaf of bread from being very passionate about...
If you're passionate about that bread, you'll get it.
I can guarantee you, it's like, you know, manifestation, you know? You got to be able to manifest what you want in life, and if you manifest something, trust me, it will come.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what you're doing with the group is really good.
Thanks, Shane. I really appreciate that.
I hope that it stays the way that it will, and I think it will, especially if you're in the reins of it. And that's what it's about, too, is letting people come in and being able to express their taste and what they enjoy, and without the bullshit attached to it, you know, like there shouldn't be to begin with. But that is the problem that we face right now in this world, is that with such easy access to it and very little accountability for a lot of the times. Fake profiles as an example, you know, all that sort of bullshit. It's very easy to get fucked around online. So for sure. If you're in a good, healthy, stable group, much like a relationship, you know, like if you're in a good, healthy one.
It's all about communication.
You want to hang around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a good sign, and I like what's happening with it, and I'm really glad that it is happening, because now more than ever, these sort of groups, especially for local-based shit, like for us, like, you know...
during COVID?
It's paramount, man. Like, I think it's paramount. Like, every time I talk about the shit, it just spruces me up and think, why the fuck have I been feeling, like, shitty and stuff? You know, I should be doing this stuff too. But
it's all about challenging yourself to be better.
But it's also to understand that, you know, we're all human. We do feel these things. And but it's okay to.
I've felt all the same emotions you have. Like, what your state you've been in was literally me only a few months ago, to the point where I just like, nah, I need to force myself to get out of there.
Yeah.
Start doing it again. Once you do, you'll look back and go, I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to seeing what else comes from the group, as well as the fucking sneaky show that you're doing next year for your birthday.
And likewise with Shane Oliver. I hope that we're getting a reoccurrence.
There will still be regular-ish episodes happening. It's just I don't really know per se what I'm trying to do with this at the moment. Like, it's a hobby. I know it's a hobby.
It's a hobby of mine to listen to yours.
It's an enjoyable hobby for me, and I do want to make something of it.
You need to feed my hobby by continuing your hobby. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, give and take relationship right there.
Yeah, perfect, man. And that's the motivation that I like to hear. Like, sometimes I forget about that, much like everybody does when you're going through shit. It doesn't matter. Like,
we always focus on the negatives, but we don't forget that there's actually people out there that love you, want to be about you, and want you to keep doing you, because you are important.
Mm-hmm.
We love everyone here, man, and I love you.
And oh, mate, I love you too. And in speaking of that, thanks again for having the chat, man. Safe travels on the way home. I look forward to the next reawakening, and
the reawakening.
Oh god, you can totally do a core thing with that. did you pick up on that as well?
Like, yeah.
Fuck.
Scott so Daly picked on him in that first, and I was like. Yeah, we gotta kind of put in parentheses the reawakening.
Yeah, definitely do that. And yeah, like, it's really good to see how well that metal group is going too. So if you need to check, it's on Facebook, Metal Music Discovery Australia. Serenity and Brutality have Facebook as well. Jake Folmer is his name, if you want to search him out. He's a fucking legend of a guy, and he's always got the best interest of the musicians at heart with what he does. Safe travels with everyone out there, eh? It's been a fucking hell of a year, eh? You know, so have fun, man. I really enjoyed talking to you, eh?
Likewise. Right. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.